Today we are talking about the New Jerusalem, our sure hope of heaven. You think of all that we just read in the picture, and guess what? This is the conclusion of Revelation here. You know, we've been in it for a while. We're coming to the end, and this is the wrap-up of the book of Revelation, this chapter, and then Wednesday night will be 22, and we're coming to a close on it. And there's this view of heaven, and I want us to think about it today in light of, it made me pause and think about a Dickens Christmas Carol. Any of you know that? Three, good. That'll really help. Well, the Christmas Carol, you know Scrooge? How many know Scrooge? Yeah, okay. That whole story, you know, he tries to go to sleep the one night, and right, he has these ghosts visit him. Christmas past and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden Christmas, he looks into the future and all that's going to happen in the future. And at the end of that whole thing, he says, is this sure? Is this going to happen? And what was the answer? Maybe, right? It could. This is one possible future for you. But what are you going to choose? And I think about that, and I think that is so uncertain. This is one possible future. You think of how many possible futures Scrooge could have. But what was the point of the ghost showing him the future, where he ends up dead, where he ends up not being cared about? What was the point? To tell him what a terrible guy you are and leave it there? The point was that he might change how he lives now, right? But I think here we are going to talk about heaven. And I want us to understand it is not like the Christmas Carol. It is not like the ghost visiting Scrooge and saying this is one possible future that you might have. What we see at the end of Revelation here is the future. It is what is coming. You think of all that is written in this book, and I want us to understand it is sure. The angel took John up to a high mountain to watch and to see this vision of what was going on, of who he had before him, in the sense of all of history was coming together in this New Jerusalem. It was God and his presence in this New Jerusalem. And the vision that John got to see was what is coming for you and me. We need to understand that. That if we're going to look at the scriptures, and all the way from Genesis to Revelation, it all fits together. You can't pull out one section and throw it out and say, I don't like that. You can't add stuff in. It is the Word of God. It is the story of what God has set out for us. And so we want to look at it today, thinking of that in that sense, this New Jerusalem is already there. And it is coming for sure in God's time, in God's way. And here is a picture of what is coming. It says there's this, the New Jerusalem. Think of that. Jerusalem. It's a place, it's a city, it's now. It was all throughout the history of the scriptures. And here is the New Jerusalem. The old has passed away because it was sin-based. It was caught in the effect, the fall of sin in the world. And because of that, it could not enter into heaven. It could not be the dwelling place of everything perfect. So there's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem that is coming. And in that new Jerusalem, it is the glory of God that is there. Think of that. The glory of God, it says it has. There is a radiance it talks about. It talks about it as a rare jewel. Now, Some of you guys have had the privilege of purchasing a semi or a rare jewel for a certain ring that went with your lady, right? And it was costly, but it was small, right? It could fit on her finger. Now, some of us smaller than others, but you think of all that went into that and the meaning that went into that little ring, that little jewel. And here it talks about having the glory of God, the radiance of rare jewels that we can't even imagine. It goes beyond our comprehension. God's very presence in this new Jerusalem, this rare jewel, this find, more than we can ever imagine. That's what's going on. That's the new Jerusalem that is being talked about here. You look in verse 10, and it says there, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal." Now, when you're going to buy that ring and that jewel, they always say, now there's grades of this, right? You can different grades of diamond if you want to. And I said, well, what is the grade that you can't tell the difference, right? That's what I'm looking for. But this is the rare jewel that everybody's looking for, that everybody desires, that everybody wants. That's God's radiance that's in this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. That's how great and glorified God is. Beyond our even comprehension of that, the presence of God. It talks about it there, and it describes the city. And so we're going to keep moving through this, but they describe the city for us. John, in watching this and interacting with the angel, as this city comes down out of heaven, you see that it has 12 gates, and at these 12 gates, you have this angel that is standing in front as guard over that gate. So you have 12 angels, and on the gates are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel, all the way back to the Old Testament. The 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel. God's promise to carry on his line, his covenant through them. There you see on the gates their 12 names. And there are three gates on each side of the city. So there are 12 gates spread out evenly on the four sides of the city. And there are underneath this city, I can't even imagine seeing this come down out of heaven, but 12 foundations. You know, how many of you have ever dug a foundation for an addition or put something on? I did that once with my dad on the porch. I hated it. You dig this foundation, you think of digging 12 of those down, 12 foundations on this city, this new Jerusalem. And on them are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Each foundation, one of those 12 apostles of the Lamb of God. All that, and you see the description and the layout of the city. And in all that, you think, well, why all those details? Why all the 12s and the 12s and the 12s? And you see this perfect city, this holy city that God has set apart. And then he goes on to describe the beauty and the grandeur of the city. The angel had a measuring rod. Isn't it interesting that it says the angel's measurement is the same as the human measurement? It's like, why is that in there? The angel had a measuring rod and measured out the city for him. Not just told John the size. He didn't just say, oh, by the way, it's 12 stadia big, you know, and it's a huge city. John watched as the angel went out and measured off the city. 1,400 to 1,500 miles square, actually cube. 1,400 to 1,500 miles, that's like two-thirds of the United States. Grab hold of that. This is what he sees coming down out of heaven. The 12 foundations, this whole big, huge city, 144 cubits, you know, 200-some feet, whether that's thick or high, the wall that it's talking about. He goes on to talk about this huge city, that it's built out of jasper as the walls. The city is out of pure gold. The foundations are each adorned with a different rare jewel. And the 12 gates are each made out of one pearl, it says. That is a big pearl, right? You think of all that. And the beauty, the grandeur of this city. We went to Canada this summer, this past summer, my wife and I did, and we would hike up into the mountains, and you'd come around the corner, and you'd just say, this is unbelievable. We also did that about 2005 when we took our daughter out to Canada, out west, and she was in the back seat. We'd say, Jess, look at this. Isn't it amazing? You know what she'd say? Amazing. Yeah. She just got back from Iceland, and she kept telling me, it's amazing, it's amazing. And then she said, I know that's a lot different what I used to be in the back seat. But you look at the new city of Jerusalem, and it is awesome. It is amazing. It is so glorious. And the cool thing is, if you go back to Genesis and all the way through Scripture, the things he's talking about, the descriptors of the city that is coming, he has shown glimpses of that and pointing toward it from the very beginning. From the beginning of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, you'll see repetition here that he brings back at the end. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, the city of Jerusalem, all the way to here, where it is a new city coming down out of heaven for the kingdom of God. For who? Well, let's see. For who? Because that's what he's talking about. It's not just so that we know, oh, there's going to be this great city. No. With all of history pointing towards the coming of this city, God's eternal kingdom. You think of the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, the holy city, the tree of life, the temple, the gold on the temple, the rare jewels. All of it is inviting us to be part of what God is doing in his eternal kingdom. Isn't that cool? That God is inviting us. That's why he took John to this high mountain to see this new Jerusalem. Rather than just tell him about it, rather than just list some things, John was our eyewitness. He was the one that got to see it. But why did the Spirit again take Scrooge, going back to that, around to all his visions and finish with the view of the future? Again, it was not to tell him what was to be. It was to change who he was then. That part is the same. Because why is John out there with this vision of the new Jerusalem? It's not to just say, oh, that's what's coming. She wanted to help me. It was to change the way we live now and forever. It is the statement of what is certainly coming. And the cause is for us to hear it, to understand it, and to have that impact now in our lives. Because we have a choice to make. We have a choice before us whether we will be one of those citizens of that new Jerusalem or not. What does it mean to be living in the city of the new Jerusalem? If you look in verse 22 of chapter 21, just so we're sure where I am, and I saw no temple in the city. Wait a minute. Jerusalem had this huge temple. It was the main place to come and worship God. Why would the new Jerusalem not have a temple? For its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. What a great message. You see, we come to worship here in this church today. and we worship, and that God's Spirit is here in presence with us. We come together to this place, to this building, you know, a cross on the wall and songs, and it is just a glimpse of what is to come. The temple was a place where they could gather, and God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. But in this new Jerusalem, you got to understand that God's presence fills Jerusalem. It is walking with God, with you. You think of the Garden of Eden again, going all the way back to the beginning. What happened there? God was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, in fellowship. In the New Jerusalem, there's not even a temple because God is there with us. There is no gap. There is no distance. There is no difference except for greater than the Garden of Eden, because it is forever. You think of that, and you think of our role now in living forward in this city of Jerusalem. There's this tangible walk with God that we can experience. We can experience the glimpse of it now, the truth of it now, and the presence of it in the New Jerusalem. God's glory is its light, it says. God's glory is its light. There's not a need for a lamp. There's not a need for the sun or the moon. It talks about God's glory filling it all. Can you imagine that? That there is no dark, there is no night, because God has taken over and all his presence is with us forever. And God's glory, and the Lamb of God, becomes the light, the lamp to us. Remember what it said in the scriptures, that God's word is? Yeah, a lamp unto our feet, a light for our path. That's where we live now. You know, how many of you know exactly what's coming down the line for you in the future? I mean, even tomorrow, even on the way home today. Who's going to get the flat, right? And have to change it with the 12-degree weather. You know, maybe it'll be 30 by then. We don't know the future. God's word, the truth of God's word and all has in it, gives us what? The next step, right? He gives us what's coming down the line for hope and for sure, but his word lights up our next step, and that's all we can take towards the end. And so Jesus and God, it's all the light. It is completely exposed and full and eternal. There is no darkness. It says it gives light to the nations so they can walk and they can bring their glory into Jerusalem. You see, you know, we can look all around the world and we can see great kings and great presidents and great leaders. But in that day, it says all the leaders that are accepted into New Jerusalem, all those kings will bring their glory and set it at the throne of God, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the worship of the nations. You think of that compared to now and worshiping here and now, and how glorious it's going to be when we worship God right there with him, when we walk with him and we're in his presence completely. The picture of God's light and worship, perfect then, directs our lives now. It gives us purpose now. You see, if that's who God is, and he calls us into that kind of relationship with this kind of promise, he calls us to live for him now. He calls us to be his people, worshiping him, and to trust in God, for he is able, for he is worthy. Recognize him for who he is, God Almighty, ruling on the throne now as it will be then. You see, it doesn't change God's presence. It doesn't change God's ability when this new Jerusalem comes down. You think of all that it says there, and that is absolutely true of God right now. That's who God is for eternity. And so our response is the question. What will we do with this image of God? Will we choose our own way and say, yeah, bah, humbug. I'm going to do my own thing. Or will we lay it all at his feet, everything we are, everything we have, to be used for his glory, to be used to worship him, to be part of that great move into New Jerusalem where we will worship the King of the universe, the King of all, God Almighty. Becoming a resident of the city is a choice that each of us has to make. It says there that nothing, in verse 27, let me read it, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable. Oh, good. I don't think I've ever done, you know, maybe I haven't done anything detestable. I'm okay, right? Or hasn't done anything false. Anybody? Every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God and has sinned and is separated from God. No one is able to enter into the New Jerusalem on their own. Well, then why did he show it to John? If no one can get in, what's the point? It's going to be this beautiful empty city, a monument, right? The rest of the passage says there, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know when that book was written? Before 1 minute of time began. All believers are written in that book of life. Anyone who has given their lives to Jesus Christ, who has said, I am a sinner, I blew it, and the only way I get to heaven, the only way I walk into the New Jerusalem as a resident of that great city of eternal heaven is if I accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I ask for forgiveness of my sin, and I accept what he has done in his death and his resurrection, overcoming sin and death for you and for me. Nothing you do can get you into that heaven. It's what Jesus has done for you, to recognize the need, but also recognize the choice. Because we don't make that choice, and it says this. In Revelation 13:8, it says, those not written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. It talks about those that were not written, and they will marvel at the beast in the end times because they seek after their own things. In Revelation 20, it says this, the dead standing before the throne in that throne judgment, after we pass from this life, the books were opened, then the book of life. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We all like to believe in heaven. Do you believe in the lake of fire and hell? You can't believe in one without believing in the other. And each of us here today has that choice. Where is our residency today? We can make that choice on Jesus Christ and forever have residency in the New Jerusalem. But once we pass from this life, the decision is made. You think of, there is no saying, well, if I'm good enough, maybe I'll get into this place where someone else can keep praying for me and I'll get into heaven. That is not what Scripture says here. That is not what Scriptures teach. You have a choice while you walk this earth to make God your Savior or to go your own way and end up in the lake of fire. That is our choice. That is the residency and the hope that is sure in heaven. It's an everlasting hope. It's a sure thing. Is your name written today in that book of life? That is a critical question for you to answer. If you do not know that, please talk with us. If you have not done that, accepting what Jesus Christ has done for you, asking forgiveness, please take that step. We can write our names in a lot of places, but we can't write it in the book of life. Only Jesus can do that. You can be sure today. And the hope of the tree of life that's in there as we close today, I want us to just look at the last part of that. It says, the tree of life. Remember the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden? And they couldn't touch it? Because if they ate of the tree of life, they would live forever as sinful man in hell. And God has made a provision for you to enjoy this great and awesome eternal kingdom that he has for you. Revelation 2:7, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which it says will bring healing to the nations. We can walk and live in the presence of God forever. This is the heaven that it talks about in Revelation. The end of the story. It is an everlasting hope where we will see his face. His name is written on our foreheads. The Lord God will be our light, and we will reign with him forever. I want us to end with this verse, and we can come on up and close here. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world, God says. What a promise. Not like for Scrooge, that it's a possibility. But from our Almighty God, it is a sure thing that is coming. Where's your residency? Will you live with him in eternity? Every day, starting today. Lord, lead us into that heaven that only you can provide. Help us to surrender our lives today that we might bring glory to your name with everything we are. I thank you for heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live for that day with the purpose of eternity in our minds each moment, each person that we meet, that they might go with us. Lead us, Lord. Use us in your great kingdom. Amen.